Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody, or as it is often called, Happy Independence Day. And since it's Independence Day weekend, I got the idea thinking about some of our favorite heroes, American heroes, and how much they represent our independence. I mean, I picked these three. You got Bruce Willis here. John McClane from Die Hard, I mean, a man's man, independent, take on all the bad guys. You got Wonder Woman, you know, she established in the first movie, she don't need no man. She, like, Wonder Woman, she is independent. You got Clint Eastwood, I mean, look at that guy. Is he independent or what? I mean, we Americans, we love our independent heroes. And the only thing strange or wrong or potentially troubling about all of the independent heroes that we love is that independence never leads to hope. You can't be independent and hopeful at the same time. In fact, here's the way I've been thinking about it. Independence is like the bear claw of hope. You know what a bear claw is? A little treat you can buy at the grocery store. You can get them at Panera. My favorite bear claws were growing up. Get them at the grocery store. They came in a pack of six, and it was just my favorite pastry dessert. I actually went to the store today to buy a pack of bear claws and couldn't find them. So this is a cheese Danish. It's good. It's good, close second place. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with a bear claw. I love eating bear claws. But if you were to only eat bear claws, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, day after day after day, they might taste good going down, but you would eventually be incredibly sick. And that's what this desire, this feeling, this spirit of independence can do to our hearts and to our souls. See, when you and I get caught up in the myth of the strong, independent man or the strong, independent woman, we tell ourselves, maybe subconsciously, that we should be able to handle whatever comes our way. And then something comes your way. And if you're honest, you find it difficult to handle. Maybe it's a relational challenge. Maybe it's all that's happening in our world with COVID-19. It could be anything, anytime. But if you think you should handle something and then you can't, rather than feeling more hopeful, we inevitably lose our sense of hope. And that's why through this whole series, The Story of Hope, we've been landing on this big idea week after week. Your story is never the whole story. See, once I recognize that there is more going on than just my story, once I see that, now I am not locked into my independence being sufficient for all things. I can give up on the myth of me being able to handle it all. See, we want you to have hope. As we've been going through this whole COVID situation over these last many weeks, we've landed on this idea of hope as our rallying cry. It's what I want for me and my family. It's what I want for you. Heck, it's what I want for the 757. We want hope for the 757. And we said in our first Hope for the 757 message, I don't know how many weeks ago, 12, 13, 14 weeks ago now, hard to believe, we said that God is with us. And God is for us, and God is sending us. Those were the three points for that message all those weeks ago. And later that week, as I was reflecting on the message I had preached, I realized that I had left out an incredibly important part of finding hope. See, if you and I are really going to find hope for our lives and for the 757, while it's true that God is with us and he's for us and he's sending us, there is something that supersedes all of that. There's an idea. There's a fourth idea that actually comes first. And it's this simple idea right here. The idea that God is. God is. And so today, I want to take a couple minutes. And I want to go up to the 30,000 foot view. And I want to talk about this God who is. Because when you know that your story is never the whole story, it's important to know about the God whose story is the whole story. And so we are going to be in one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible today. We are going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. Now, Isaiah in the Old Testament, he was a prophet. And as you're reading in your Bible in the Old Testament, there are major prophets and minor prophets. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, these guys are the major prophets. And then there are 12 minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and on and on. And here's the difference. The major prophets are longer and the minor prophets are shorter. It has nothing to do with importance. It has nothing to do with how good they were. It's just some people had a lot to say and some people didn't have as much to say. And in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah breaks in with this incredible declaration about who God is. And so as we read it together, I actually want to read some of it today. I want to read some of it directly from my Bible. I want you to hear these words. Now I'm going to go back to the TV in a minute, but I want you to hear what Isaiah has to say about God to you today. If you've never heard these words before, Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to jump in at verse 21. Isaiah says this. He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded?" He, speaking of God, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. He's watching over your story. And its people are like grasshoppers, and he stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and he spreads them out like a tent to live in. Isaiah says, he brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. I mean, think about that one for just a minute. Princes to naught, the rulers to nothing. Who's the person in your life that's really, really big? Anybody in your life that feels really, really big and intimidating? Maybe somebody that's causing you stress and anxiety. Man, when you're independent and you got to handle that person on your own, that person's really, really big. But when we recognize that the God who stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent, he brings princes to naught and makes rulers to nothing. You get that God on your side. You get that God is. Oh, it can bring so much hope. He says, no sooner are they planted, these rulers, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away. Verse 25, Isaiah says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes, look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine being in ancient Israel thousands of years ago, maybe 2,500 years ago? There's no light pollution. There's no pollution. It's just stars. And you look up and Isaiah says, see all those stars? He knows them all. He hung them all. He knows each one by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And God is, and God just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then Isaiah takes a little bit of a turn. Isaiah takes a little bit of a turn, and he comes back to where you and I live. In the midst of this incredible declaration of the greatness and the glory and the wonder of God, Isaiah comes back in verse 27 and he says, oh man, oh woman, oh child, student, I know, I see your struggle. And in verse 27, he says this. I want you to see it on the screen. In verse 27, he says, why do you complain, Jacob? That's a synonym for Israel. He's talking to the people of Israel. He's talking to, would be to us today. Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? In other words, I put in the parentheses. In other words, why do you say God doesn't see me? Why do you say my cause is disregarded by my God? In other words, God doesn't care. I love that in the midst of his declaration about the greatness and the wonder of God, he breaks in and he relates to us where we live. Because how often do we feel, how often do we say, how often do we think, God, you don't see me. God, why don't you care? And I want you to know today that when you have this sense that God doesn't see you, and when you have this sense that God doesn't care, there is more going on than you know. And when you are tempted to feel this way, when you are tempted to feel disregarded or that your way is hidden, I want you to come back to this idea. I want you to get it in your heart that your story is never the whole story. It's not. I know it feels like God doesn't see you. I know it might feel like God doesn't care, but that's not the whole story. And so he comes back and he grabs that refrain that he started earlier in our reading, and he repeats himself in verse 28, and he says, "Do you not know, you who feel disregarded, you who feel hidden, have you not heard?" What does he want you to know? What does he want you to hear? Look at the rest of verse 28. "Do you not know, have you not heard? You, man, are awesome and strong and independent." No, that's not what he says. That's not in the Bible. I made that up. God never comes to you and says, "You're awesome, you're strong, and you're independent." He never says that. And the reason he doesn't say it is that, well, it's just not true. As much as I want to be independent from all, the truth is I'm not. The truth is I'm not. But look at what he does say in verse 28. Here's what verse 28 does say. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." And when I need hope, when I'm feeling really down, I come back to this passage because I need someone who's everlasting. I need a creator. I don't need someone who doesn't grow tired or weary, someone who has limitless understanding. And if we really dive into who the prophet is saying God is, if we really look at the words of Isaiah 40, and we see the greatness and the wonder and the grandeur and the strength of God, there's really a question that it should move us to ask. It's a question that we don't ask very often, actually. It's a question that in our independence, we assume we know the answer to. But on this 4th of July weekend, I want you to ask this question with me, and here's the question. How does this strong, wise, everlasting, creating God relate to me? See, that's really where we're going to find hope. Hope isn't going to just be found in the fact that God is strong and wise and everlasting and creating. He hung the moon and the stars, named them all, brings princes to life. I mean, all of that is good and true to know about God, that God is. This is what's unique about the Christian faith. This is what's unique about the way God revealed himself to us through the Jewish people, through the Hebrew scriptures. See, most people throughout time and throughout religious history have had this view of God where he is strong and wise. They might have had a really big view of God, but he wasn't for them. And there was a question about, did he like us? And how would he relate to us in our weakness? And this is where we can find hope. Listen to who God is in verse 29. Listen what it says. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." When you feel weary and you feel weak, your heavenly Father, he comes to you and he says, "I know you're weary. I know you're weak. Come to me for strength. Let me increase your power." He comes to us and he says, "Stop being so independent. Because as long as I'm living in my independence and thinking I can do it all myself, I'm gonna grow tired and I'm gonna grow weak. But when I turn to God, he offers me strength. I want to say it like this. I want to say it like this today. We find hope not in our independence, but in dependence on God. It's where we find hope. Not in our independence, but in dependence on God. Verse 30 says this. He goes on, he says, even youths grow tired and weary. I mean, we look at younger people. I look at my teenage kids and they just go forever. But even they eventually grow tired and weary. Even young men stumble and fall. It's just something that happens to all of us. But in the midst of all of that, when the best and the brightest grow weary and tired and stumble and fall, look at verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If we hope in the Lord, we get His strength and His power and His resources. And the invitation today, the invitation every day, is to be done with my own strength and my own independence. And to recognize that I grow tired and weary and I need a strength, I need a hope outside of myself. Again, we'll say it like this today. We find hope not in our independence, but in dependence on God. Now, a little bit of a sideways thought here, but stay with me for a second. Over the COVID season, while we were sheltering in place, right before that, I was having some knee pain and some hip pain as I was getting back into running. So I started doing therapy over telehealth, and it went great doing physical therapy over telehealth and started making some progress. But I noticed as I was doing this physical therapy that there was a key thing in addition to the telehealth that helped me improve. I realized that though I would work with the physical therapist twice a week over the computer, I had to actually do the exercises that he recommended in order to improve. And when I did the exercises, I improved. And when I didn't do them, I didn't get better. And it's no different with this. I mean, it's good to find hope not in our independence, but in dependence on God. But the question is this. Here's the question. Will you demonstrate your dependence on God by slowing down to be with Him? I demonstrate my dependence on my Heavenly Father when I slow down to be with Him. And we're not a legalistic church, and I'm not a rules guy. I'm a spirit of the law guy. I want as few rules as possible. I'll be spirit-led, spirit of the law. And this is spirit of the law. And here's what the spirit of the law says. The spirit of the law says that if you and I, if we go through our day and day after day after day, and we don't ever slow down to be with God and hear what He might have to say and get His perspective on what's happening in the world, what we are saying to Him, whether we know it or not, what we're saying practically is, God, I'm choosing to be independent of You. Independent of You. So will you demonstrate your dependence on God by slowing down to be with Him? Now, I really want to help because I know this can be strange. I know this can be difficult for us, but we really want to help. We have some fantastic resources on our website. I want to show you a screenshot here. I don't know if this will make sense, but if you go to gracebible.church, this is our homepage. You click over, go over here to get involved, and you scroll down. It says pray, read the Bible. So you go to get involved, you go to pray, read the Bible, and you click on learning to pray. There's a free PDF there that will guide you through slowing down to be with God. Now, if you're not so much of a website person, if you want me to just walk it through you, it's actually not very complicated. I'll just give you a four-point plan. Here you go. Here's the four-point plan. Number one, sit quietly in a comfortable chair for 2 minutes. So when I'm doing this, and the time varies, Maybe it's 2 minutes, maybe it's 10 minutes. But you say, I set the timer on my phone, put my phone on do not disturb, and I sit in a comfortable chair and I just breathe and I just try to slow down and slow my heart and slow my mind. And then slowly read and reread a passage of scripture. Take Isaiah 40. Start at verse 21, start at verse 27, but read Isaiah 40. Read it, reread it slowly, allowing God to speak to you. Tell God what stands out to you from his word. Tell him what's on your mind. And then when you're finished, sit quietly again. If you're thinking to yourself, Eric, that doesn't seem like I'm actually doing very much. That's because you're not. What you're doing is showing that you actually need to be dependent on someone else. Dependent on someone else. So I just want to say it one more time. We find hope not in our independence, but in dependence on God. Honestly, I feel like as a church, we're at a bit of a disadvantage. You're at a bit of a disadvantage on this, maybe even more than you realize. Because your pastor, me, naturally exudes a confident, you could even say independent spirit. It's some of my wiring, some of its temperament, some of its strengths, some of it's my desire to be independent. And the unfortunate thing is if you see me and you're involved in our church and you might think week after week, well, it seems like he's got it all together. Shouldn't I? No, 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 I don't. And neither should you. I got to see the mirror on this over this COVID time. I don't know if you were aware, for about the first 10 weeks, for about the first 70 days, almost every day, I did a little daily hope update. They still live on YouTube somewhere. I stopped after Memorial Day. But it was interesting because as I went back and watched some of them, and especially some of the early ones, I think even the very first one, man, some of those days, I could just feel the heaviness. Sometimes I would do the daily hope update and somebody who knows me well and loves me would call and be like, hey man, are you okay? Because I saw the update and it seemed pretty raw. Are you down? And I'd say, you know, yeah, I am kind of down. It's kind of overwhelming. Shutting down our services and all the confusion, all the need to be dependent. So I want to encourage you. Independence, it is a great American virtue. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a person who's looking for hope, hope's never going to be found by celebrating your own independence. Hope will be found in celebrating your dependence on God. And so let me pray for us that we would have a sense of how great God is and how much we really need him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would open our eyes to our weakness and to our need for you, and then open our eyes even grander, even bigger, even broader to see how strong and creative and wise and understanding and merciful you are, that in all of our need would be dwarfed by you. Thank you, God, that we don't have to have the answers. We don't have to be strong and wise. We don't have to be independent. May we put our dependence on you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the interest of full disclosure, at this point, I have been having questions for you to discuss with the people you're with. And I completely forgot to do them here at the end of the message, but I had planned to do the same questions from last week. So I'm going to tell them to you, and then we'll get them for next time. But here are the three questions. What stood out to you from the message? It's the first one. The second question is, what was God saying to you through the message? The third question is, what are you going to do about it? Oh man, our production team's incredible. They put it right here. Go production team. They pulled it up from last week. Here you go. What stood out to you? What do you think God's saying to you? What are you going to do about what he is saying to you? I hope your answer to number three is you're going to slow down And you're going to demonstrate your dependence on God by spending time with him this week. Hey, I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Next Sunday is Orange Sunday. We have an incredible service highlighting our kids and student ministries. Can't wait to see you next week for Orange Sunday.